The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Hey, welcome back to The Bright Side, issue number 92. The Netflix original, The Old Guard. Greg Rucka's book, published by Image Comics. John and I both read the book. We really enjoyed the book, so we're really looking forward to talking about this. We do a pretty deep dive on it. We talk about, should this have been a series? Is it good as a movie? How did they develop the characters compared to the book? Is there differences? We had a lot of fun with this. And it's spoiler free for about the first 17 minutes, and then we lock the door and really get into it. So if you haven't seen it, there's enough content there for you. We'll give you our opinions. You can pause it, go check it out, and come back and listen to the rest. But either way, it's time to get into the store. John, I'm excited to be back. It's Monday morning. I couldn't wait to get in here today. Couldn't wait to get to this topic. It's just refreshing to me. Actually, you know what? I don't even care. I don't care what you think of the movie. Not that I don't care about your opinion, but I'm like, look, if you don't agree with me, it'll be a blast. If you agree with me, I mean, this movie has, in my opinion, we'll get to that.
I'm not going to bring you down. Is that what you're telling
can't.
Me?
You can't.
I can't bring you down.
Maybe I'm already down. I don't know. I don't want to show my hand yet. Maybe I'm already down. I just think it'll be fun to rip on you. I don't know. You don't know.
I bet you I could bring you down if I tried hard enough.
I do know you.
I have a knack.
Yeah. And so do I, and that's why we go so well together. Like oil and water, my friend.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, we always did.
Yep.
We've had our moments.
That we have.
Yeah, let's get to those covers from last week. We'll get to the Lieber Mayo that we talked about last week. Again, I don't know why. You know what it is? You know what that reminds me of? Did we do these in high school? Do you remember doing the I'm sure we did them. Where you had it was inked and you had to scrape away the ink. What did we call that? It was a black page, and underneath it was white underneath, and you were drawing in the negative.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And that's what this drawing, this Lieber Mayo cover reminds me of. I did a Springsteen one that I have hanging up in my downstairs of him with his fist in the air, and it's got this same kind of detail to it. It looks like it was drawn on a black piece of paper. And do you remember what I'm talking about? Where it was like,
no, I do. I remember exactly what you're talking about. I just don't remember what it was called.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't remember because we use those pens. You use the ink pens with no ink in it and scrape away the black to get to the white underneath.
Right. You put a layer of ink on the page.
Right.
And then you scraped it away.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's what it just hit me just now that's what this reminded me of. It looks like something we would have done in high school if we were to have that assignment. And this Wonder Woman, who's the artist? Joshua Middleton?
Joshua Middleton.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Very, I was going to say royal, but more
regal.
Not regal, like religious. Like she's got that halo going over her head, like the Virgin Mary had or something.
Yeah.
No? You don't see that?
Yeah. No, I do. Like, wow. Yeah, I do.
I mean, it's a great realistic drawing, very soft, soft skin tones and everything. Yeah. Really well done. Her face is a little, really strong cheekbones.
Yes, a little more angular than
we're
used to seeing, but.
Yeah, in a comic.
Yeah, overall, I don't know. I really liked it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I really like it.
And then you get to the Flash one with Matteo Scalera. Is that right?
In Hercules.
Oh, I'm looking at a different one then. The all red one?
I don't have it in front of me right now.
Oh, okay. No, wait a minute.
In Hercules was the artist.
Oh, yeah. No, it's in Hercules, but it says cover art Matteo Scalera here.
He might have done the original.
Yeah, like, I think he did. You're right. And the one I'm looking at, is it all red?
Yeah.
In Huckley. Yeah, that's weird. Yeah. They have the cover art is wrong.
They might have just mixed up the art. Yeah.
mixed up the artist.
But yeah, that's a nice one. All red. Very monochromatic. Yeah. Much like the Batman one, all black.
That's right.
So, see?
They like their monochromatic covers.
Yep. So, anything else going on?
No, not that I can think of.
All right. So, we could just get right to this?
I think we can.
I have a long trailer here, but I'm going to play the whole thing. I'll tell you why after the fact.
Okay.
But I really enjoyed this trailer, and I think the listeners will even enjoy it, even though it's long.
Let's do it.
Who are you?
You can call me Andy. I lead a group of soldiers. Fighters, like you.
With an extremely rare skill set.
What do you mean?
Mother? Let's just say we're very hard to kill.
You've got questions, kid. You want answers? I have the new one.
And?
I think she has potential. See, you're already healing faster. You're gonna do great.
So you good guys or bad guys?
Depends on the century.
So we really never die.
Just because we keep living doesn't mean we stop hurting.
Throughout history, we've protected this world, fighting in the shadows. It's nearly impossible to disappear in the world we live in today.
She'll let me to take one for you.
Oh, thank you so much.
Here you go.
Thank you.
These are extraordinary individuals. They are extremely resistant to capture.
They're going to lock us up and weaponize us. But they've never faced an army like ours.
An army of five. Shit, let's start a band.
If we can unlock their genetic code, the entire world will be begging us for the key.
You shouldn't have done that.
We don't have all the answers. But we do have purpose.
I strongly recommend that we leave right now.
Let's move!
Wait for the signal.
How the hell can you even tell? Oh. I'm gonna keep popping fun all night.
So like I said, that's typically a little longer than what I'd usually play for the podcast. But what I liked about that trailer was, well, it was pretty informative, very few gaps in it. But I love one of the things, we'll go spoiler free just for a little bit because it did just come out. But the soundtrack to this movie, I really enjoyed the soundtrack. I thought it played well with the movie. I thought the words in the lyrics, they pertained very well to the movie at the time that they were played. And right. In the soundtrack in that trailer, I thought was really good. Just the what's up with that going on. It's like there's a lot of that going through this movie.
Yes, I agree. It was really, really engaging, I thought, throughout the movie.
Yeah. So let's get to it then. A little spoiler free there. What did you think of it? Did you like it?
Liked it. Yeah, I liked it a lot.
You liked it a lot? Good.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Good. We can get into then.
We can still be friends.
Yeah. Well, that was going to happen regardless. Hey, we made it through Endgame.
Yeah.
How did you think it pertained? You've read the book more recently than I did.
Yeah, I just finished it like 2 weeks ago.
Right. How did you think it compared? I thought it was a very good.
They made a couple of changes that we won't get to until we do spoilers.
Yep.
There was a couple of things they changed. I don't necessarily think they were both for the better. Although I mentioned on our show Thursday that I heard an interview with Greg Rucka that he did with Kevin Smith and Mark Bernardin on
cool.
the Batman Beyond podcast. And Greg was actually the screenwriter for this as well, which is pretty unusual because they don't often let the writer and the creator of the comic, you know, write the movie as well. So any change that was made, you know, was done by his direction. So I can't say that necessarily like they were inappropriate changes because this is obviously what he thought would play better. Because, you know, writing for a screenplay and writing for a comic, they're not exactly the same thing. You know, it's hard to adapt literally everything you do in a comic to a drama. And certain things, you know, there's actors involved and they want to get their due, you know, and there's different things that happen. So I understand all the changes. And like I said, I know it's a little cryptic now because I don't want to spoil anything, but I don't necessarily love the two that I'm thinking of. But overall, yeah, I can't complain. I thought it was a pretty faithful.
I thought
adaptation.
It was the most faithful I've seen in a while. I put that on Twitter
definitely.
At some point.
Like it was almost.
It was almost verbatim
beat for
to the
beat.
Book.
Yeah,
yeah,
it was.
But
it was
yet
very close.
Still very entertaining. There was, cause I read the book a little while ago, so I'm going, it's like, I knew the basis of the story. I knew the ending. I knew the, you know, not a post credit scene, but they did a little bit of a comeback scene. And I knew that was coming throughout the entire thing. And yet there were times where I was like, is this what's going to happen? You know, it was. Right. Very, very well done and enough to keep you on the edge of your seat. And that's why I was interested. And I can't wait to get into it even deeper on like you having just finished the book.
Yeah. Now I think actually there were a few details, like the book did go a little deeper.
Usually
like,
does.
Yeah. It
Unless
went a little
it's
deeper
Umbrella
into
Academy.
Yeah. It went a little deeper into Andy's past. You know, there's a scene in this movie. This isn't much of a spoiler, but you know, she has a cave where she keeps all of the relics that she's collected over her long lifetime. And they glance past a painting of her with her husband that they don't touch on really at all in the movie.
Right.
But they do in the book go through a little bit of that story with her and the husband.
There's one thing I thought they elaborated on a little bit Umbrella Academy-ish in the movie that I don't remember in the book, and maybe you can correct me if it was actually in there, but there's this one particular scene I'm thinking of that I don't remember from the book, so I think they may have gone in a different direction there.
Okay.
The other thing, oh, what was I just going to say? It was something about Andy, man.
Well, while you're looking that up, there's one other instance of that also that I could think of. You know, in the book, they all, like, they made a point when they first meet Niall, who is, like, the new immortal. She wants to contact her. She wants to go back and contact her family. And
yes.
Andy tells her, you know, that's not really a good idea. And you should ask, I can't remember the character's name.
Booker.
But you should ask such and such why it's not a good idea. And again, in the book, they go into a little bit more depth. Like, he talks about how, you know, his family knew that he was immortal, and they really came to hate and resent him because they thought that he should be able to pass that on to them and kind of save them their illnesses and things like so.
Right, they go into that in the movie.
They do a little, but what I'm saying is they touch on it in the movie briefly, but there's a lot more detail that they go into in the book. So, like I said, it was a 6-issue comic versus an hour and 50 minutes or 2-hour movie. So you can't touch on everything.
Right.
But I think both of those scenes, they would have played in the movie. Like they could have expanded on both of those points with her and her husband there and with, I gotta look up the name.
Is it Booker?
Booker.
Yeah. Booker is the one
with
in the
Booker,
movie that.
Right.
Yeah.
With Booker and his sons that hated him because they had cancer and different things. So, yeah.
Yeah, we'll get into that in spoilers and all that. This actually lends to the idea that I had when, you know, you first hearing this movie's coming out, and I'm like, oh, I wish it was a series.
Right.
But I don't know. I don't know now, because I really enjoyed the movie, and I thought the movie at 2 hours long, I thought it did a really good job of moving the story along, encapsulating everything that you needed. If you want more, go read the books.
I agree. Like, I think that as a series, this would have been too drawn out.
Yes.
I think that, like I said, there's a couple of things that I mentioned that maybe would have added 10 minutes to the movie. Maybe not even that much. You know, maybe it would have added 5 minutes to the movie. Maybe I would have wanted an extra 5 or 10 minutes, but I don't think I needed 4 more hours. You know, because I think that would have just been too drawn out. So in this case, you know, again, you and I are always talking about how we want
series. Yeah.
Series. We want everything to be a series, but sometimes it doesn't need it. Like, I think this was.
Well, this was just so well done. I thought it didn't need it at all, because the pacing of the movie I thought was really well done, and that you weren't left. There wasn't much you were left with at the end. And what I was trying to think of earlier, it had to do with Andy, and there was an oversight, not an oversight, but they left something out of the movie that's in the book that's really important that we'll get into in spoilers, because it's kind of a spoiler if you haven't read the book, and it's not in the movie. And I'll talk, you'll know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I'm not, but, I don't know now, but I'm sure I'll know when you bring it up.
Again, it's not even when I mention it later, it's not that big a deal that it's not in there, because you don't miss it.
Let's just get to it. Like, we'll break it down. We both liked it, spoiler free. So let's just start talking about what you want to talk about. You know,
then like, you lock the door.
Yep.
All right, door's all locked. Here we go. Do you want me to just get to the oversight?
Yeah, just whatever. Well, yeah, whatever you they never whatever thought you have. Yeah, let's go to it.
They You got to get someplace.
That one thought. No, but no, that I one know. Thought. I don't want it to go out of your head
again. Right. You might lose it. Yeah. You're like, while you're looking it up, I'm like, it's in my head. I can't find it. They never said how old she is in the movie.
Oh, no, they didn't.
They never said they that just she's said over 6,000 years old, and they never mention it in the movie. And I watched it twice, and I'm like waiting for them. And they're like, it's not even at the beginning. Do they say like, not that you know the beginning of the movie. It opens up with them laying on the floor. And then after that, you know, then that becomes a flashback scene, which I thought was pretty cool. But there's nothing, not even in the little conversation with Andy and Booker at the opening scene or anything, of a mention of her being over 6,000 years old. And I thought that was one of those things that, to your point, maybe could have been elaborated on a little bit more, and it doesn't even add, probably doesn't even add 20 seconds to the movie of her just mentioning her age and saying, I've forgotten more than I could ever remember. Because that's one of the big things in the book, when you're reading the book and how old she is. And she's like, there are people that I've loved that I have forgotten. And I know I have, because, you know, it's, there's so much to get into, in my opinion, in this movie. One of the most, well, before I get to that, what are your thoughts? Spoilers. First thoughts. What were one of the things that you were talking about that's missing?
Oh, as far as the changes they made?
Yeah.
Well, they made two big changes, right? Like, the biggest change obviously comes at the end of the movie, where they take away her immortality. They talk about, like,
kinda, yeah.
They're not truly immortal, right? Like, they are hard to kill. So there's a little distinction where, you know, you see in other movies and books where they're immortal, and like, they just have super long lifespans, but eventually they just die, right? Like, their immortality goes away, and they no longer heal from their injuries or anything like that. So in the book, that never, like, that didn't happen. They didn't take it away from her. In the movie, they kind of do. Now, obviously, she doesn't die, but they take, but you know, now going forward, like, we're going to assume there's going to be a sequel movie to go along with the sequel miniseries. But I think now they'll be a little different, because in the movie, I think she's going to continue to be the leader of the team, but she's on her last life. Like, she's just going to be like any other person. Like, she has to.
But
you know,
I wonder if that's one of the questions that I have, if, because there's.
But I think they kind of said it, right? Like, didn't they
Well, she also teased Booker with it too at the end when she walks away from Booker and she's like, he's like, I'll never see you again. Meaning they can't see each other for 100 years. So right. Even if she never gets shot, she would be dead of old age by the time right. his sentence is up.
Because
right?
in the book, she tells him, I'll meet you here in 100 years.
Right.
But in the movie, she says, they will meet you here in 100 years. Where she assumes that she's not going to be around. I think she's teasing the sequel. Like, because, you know, he'll be back for the second movie.
Right.
In way less than 100 years. So she's basically saying, ah, there's no guarantee that we'll never see each other again.
Well, but what does she say to it? I thought it was very important on what she actually said to him, because she said, have faith, Booker. Right. And I think that's what the basis of this movie is faith. It's a renewed faith. At the beginning of this movie, she's walking the earth thinking like she's lost all faith in humanity. Right. And by the end of the movie, her story arc is she has gained all of that faith back between Niall and that woman in the like convenience store or whatever that sews up her shoulder.
Right.
That wasn't a throwaway scene. That was an important scene on her renewing her faith in humanity, because she kept saying in this, like, why are we doing what we're doing? It's getting worse. These humans don't know what they're doing. They're just destroying each other. Why do we keep trying to save them?
Right.
And that's why. Because there are good people. There are people to fight for. And I think it's her renewed faith. And then at the end, when she says, have faith to Booker, I'm wondering if she find a way to renew her power or something where she can get it back. So this could go on.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we don't know for sure,
right?
But that was, like I said, one big change that I don't necessarily know if that enriches the story or not, you know, whether that had to be done or not. The other one is, you know, I'm bad with the names of these characters. I should know them a little better. But, you know, Chiwetel Ejiofor, right? The character he played.
Oh, Copley.
Like they humanized him more in this.
You remember his
movies.
Name. I would never remember that.
Oh, well, I remember the actor's name, yeah. Copley? Is that what it was?
Yeah. That's what he was in the book, too.
Right. So they humanized him more in the movie. Like, they made him a more sympathetic character because because of the actor, right? Like, you know, he wants to be not necessarily the dirtbag. So in the book, he's a dirtbag, you know, and they never really, he has no real redemption. I don't even remember if he survives, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
he
does.
Remember.
He has the same story arc, pretty much. It's Merrick that has nothing.
Well, right, but in the, like, he's feeling bad through this movie.
Right.
Like, during the torture and things like that. In the book, that didn't really happen, you know? And, like, at the end, it kind of, like, he's going to be, like, you know, Charlie, and they're going to be the angels. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
He's going to send them on their missions, and, like, he's going to become part of the team. And, you know, once again, that didn't happen in the books. If it did, maybe I'm misremembering, but I don't think that happened.
I swear he's
in
the second books, too, doing exactly what he was supposed to
do. Well, maybe he is. I don't know. I haven't read them yet.
Okay.
So maybe they were borrowing from
the
second set of books.
Setting it up. Yep.
Yeah.
Maybe you're right.
But, like, when the first miniseries ended, I don't remember that happening. So I thought, in my mind, that's a change that they made for the actor, you know, so that he could continue on and, you know, be kind of part of the team.
Let me ask you this. The scene where Niall jumps out the window with Merrick.
Yeah.
Do you remember that from the book? The two characters jumping from the top of a skyscraper?
I do remember her jumping, yes.
Okay, because it was two of them jumped to try and get to the ground first. I didn't know if that happened in the first series or if they borrowed that from the second series.
No, I
couldn't remember. That's why I was
asking. I remember that.
Because I kind of liked that scene and they took that out.
Yeah.
Because that was one of the slight difference, but it was, I think it was Andy and Niall, right?
Yes.
And they both jumped, and then it's like when they landed and every bone in their body broke and they were sitting there laying on the ground healing. And then when they get up and Niall's like, that hurt. And Andy's like, yeah, it did. That surprised me. And she's like, you haven't done that before? She goes, skyscrapers are only like 100 years old. Where would I have jumped from that high?
Right.
Which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was.
And we were robbed of that. But I did like how where she jumped out and she yells like,
language.
all the way down. If you listen close, she's screaming it the whole way, because she doesn't know what's going to happen, except that it's going to hurt.
It was kind of a leap of faith, you know?
Yep, there you go. More faith.
Yeah.
Any other differences?
No, not really. I think everything else played out pretty much just as it did in the book. Like, I don't really remember. Those were, like I said, the two biggest things to me were what I mentioned. You know, the change to Andy and the change to Copley. I think other than that, it was, you know, I'm not going to say it was word for word, but I mean, you know, every chapter seemed to follow along with the book, which I liked. You know, we've seen a lot of adaptations in the past where, you know, they play a little fast and loose with the source material and change too much. And I think this was, and again, that's probably based on Greg Rucka being the, you know, being the screenwriter of this.
Exactly.
You know, obviously it's his project, it's his baby. Nothing hit the screen different than the way he wanted it. Because he even makes mention, again, going back to the interview that I listened to, that the changes he did make, which he didn't spell out directly, but I'm assuming he was talking about the change to Andy, that was his decision and what he thought was better for the story. So it wasn't a studio or anybody that forced that change on him. So it's hard for me to go back. It's hard for me to say I don't like the change because he's the visionary, right? It's his project, so maybe he wanted that in the book and he didn't think about it until afterwards or something, you know?
Right.
And he kind of George Lucas'd it and went back and, you know, did his special edition. But
it doesn't need to be there, but at the same time, I think it does add a little bit more depth to the story because
it
makes her realize stuff. And like what she said in the movie, I forgot what it was like to be special. I forgot what it was like to be powerful like that.
Well, right. And that's why I think that she probably does lose it for good, because it changes her character for the next movie. You know, because her perspective will be different, knowing that she can't just get up and walk away from everything. You know, everything tastes a little sweeter. You know, everything means a little bit more. So I think that will stick for her. I just think it is a little bit different than the books. Because I haven't read the second miniseries, but I don't think that happened to her.
No.
In the books.
Nope.
So it will change the, if they do another movie, like we're assuming it's a done deal. They haven't said anything, but knowing that it's a trilogy of miniseries, there's probably going to be three movies. This has been very successful already for Netflix. So
yeah, I haven't seen a lot of negative on it. I haven't seen a lot of positive either. I haven't read a bunch on it yet, but I haven't seen people tearing into it.
No, but I haven't really talked to anybody that didn't like it. And most of the feedback and the reviews I've read were positive. So, and I think it did big numbers for Netflix. Like, they never come out and release that information. But again, Greg was taught when he was doing the interview, it was Friday. It was release day.
Okay.
And he was saying that there was already big response on Netflix. So I think they'll probably do a sequel. And so if they do, it will have to be slightly different than the book in this, if they keep her character different. Because I think they'll explore things in the movie where she's mortal, as opposed to what happened in the comic where she's still immortal. So,
not to be the cynic in the room, but do you think there's any chance that they made her immortal because of a contract?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. You know, again, I don't know. She hasn't come out and made any statements that I'm aware of one way or the other on whether she wants to do another one or not. But again, going back to, you know, I want to keep going back to this interview because it was pretty enlightening. I was really glad I got to listen to the interview after I watched the movie. I would listen to the interview the next day. He talked about Charlize on set and how into it she was. Like, she was invested. She was really invested in the script. They did a lot of rewriting on the fly. Like, you know, a lot of, I don't think this line works. I don't think my character would say that. You know, a lot of input from her on how the character was going to be shaped and, you know, how much he enjoyed working with her. So I get the feeling like that she would probably be down for more if they offered it to her. But, you know, we don't know 100% because that's just what he was saying in the interview. But the way it sounded is that, you know, they all really got along and collaborated well on set, and that she was really, really into it. So that bodes well for a sequel.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. I mean, I loved her in this. I thought she was great. Like you said, she looked like she was really into it.
Yeah.
And I mean, I thought she was great for the character. I thought the character in the book had long hair, if I remember
she
right.
She did. Yeah, she did have long hair. She obviously didn't look American. You know, Charlize, I don't know if she's American. I don't know what her nationality is, but I mean, she's very white.
She's actually South African.
Okay. But, you know, the character in the book seems a little bit more like Mesopotamian, like more.
Yeah.
You know, she's old, right?
Well, like being 6,000 years old, she probably wasn't saying. From North America.
Well, that's what I'm trying to say. So she changed a little bit, you know, obviously because of the casting. But, you know, if she was 6,000 years old, she wouldn't necessarily be ultra-Caucasian.
Right.
You know? So, and yes, she definitely had a more foreign look and long dark hair. And which I don't know why they necessarily changed for the movie because, like, Charlize has, you know, long hair anyways, right?
So, she can. I mean.
Yeah. So, like. There was no reason necessarily to keep it short, but you know, it's very minor. Really, I didn't even really think about it at all until we just started talking about it.
Well, when I read issue 5 of the that came out last Wednesday, I was reading it and like you flip to a panel and Niall looks more like Andy in the movie. And yeah. What's her name? The one that drowned. What's her? Is it Quint? Who was it that drowned? Andy's partner, whatever.
Yeah, I don't remember. Don't remember her name.
Speaking of that, that was another change that they never.
That was too. Yeah, I kind of forgot about that too. Like the little end credit, or not end credit, but the the end scene, the fade end scene. That was different from the book.
Yeah.
Now, does like that play
Quinn,
into
Quinn or something? Is her name Quinn?
Does
was
that play into the second miniseries?
What's that? How she gets at Booker?
No, that character, Quint or whatever, Quinn.
Yeah, Gwen.
We never see her back. We never see her come back to life in the comics. Like that. Was
oh yeah,
something,
she does. Yeah,
well,
she
that's what I'm saying.
Right, that play, and that's in that the second series, and she takes right. Booker just like that.
See, I didn't know that because I haven't read it, so I wasn't sure if that was where it was going to go. I didn't know she had survived. Basically.
Oh yeah. Yeah, and that's what I mean. I kind of blended that together. I didn't know if that was the end of the first 5 or whatever. Yeah. But she definitely does come back.
Okay.
And that in the book and in the movie, I thought the movie did a decent job. It was very short of showing her drown over and over again.
Right.
But the book goes really in depth, and it's a scary scene.
It does. It is scary because when you think about it.
Hundreds of years of doing
yes.
that.
Right. I mean, that like, what's worse than that? You know what I mean? I can't think of anything worse than just drowning nonstop for a couple hundred years, you know?
Yeah.
Like, there's no peace at all. Like, even if you just locked in a box for 1,000 years, it might be boring, but it's awful, but at least you're not drowning.
Tortured.
At least you can, right, at least you can get to sleep. You can sleep or something, you know?
Oh.
Imagine drown like when
and
you
can't
sleep?
Die.
There's
you
no just, end to it, right? Yeah. It just goes on and on and on and on. So I can't think of anything worse than that, except maybe being on fire nonstop for, you know,
right,
like burning alive over and over and
which
over.
Which is funny
for
because that's what years. What they were talking about,
right?
Andy and Gwen were talking like, "Oh, I'm gonna be burned alive. Have you ever been? What's it feel like? What's it like? You know?" And they're like,
right.
"You know," and then it turns out that's. Not what ended up, well, that did happen to him, I imagine, and then that didn't work, so they threw her in the ocean. And
right.
That's just awful. In the book, they don't throw her in the ocean in the book. It's an accident, isn't it? Or something? I can't
I don't remember
exactly.
I don't remember.
But, so let's get into that. A couple of questions that came up that I thought of. Immortality. You had said a couple of weeks ago what movie we were talking about where you
Neon
were like...
Flux.
Yeah, who wants to be immortal?
Right.
And all of these guys, Andy, Niall, Booker, Joey, and Nikki, they all don't want it.
Well, I think I think they're okay with it for a while. Like, if you look at Niall, like, she's cool, right? Cool with it because
well, it's
like, oh, yeah, this is great. I haven't lived 100 lifetimes yet, So the idea of being immortal, it seems awesome. Because she hasn't watched everybody she loves die. And, you know, the other ones, they're tired of it. You know, and then if you think about Booker, who's really only like 200 years old, they say.
He's the youngest one there.
Right. He hasn't even done it anywhere near as long as like Andy. And he's already tired of it after 200 years. So imagine what Andy must feel like after 6,000 years.
Well, don't they go into it in the book that his son died at 40?
Yes.
His son had a disease. They don't, they kind of do it a little bit in the movie. They show his son in the hospital.
Right. That's what I was saying. I wish they would have expanded a little bit more on that in the movie, but they didn't.
But the way they expand on it in the book is, it's heart-wrenching. It's like he does say it a little bit in the movie that, you know, they're gonna
hate you. They're gonna beg you
for your power. They're gonna think you can give it to them, but you can't, and they're gonna hate you, and you just have to.
And
walk
what he
away
says
and
is like he's
die.
The one that right because they're the ones that have to like he has to live now with the knowledge that. His family hated him at the end, you know?
Right.
Whereas, like, he's trying to spare Niall of that by saying, look, just let them think you're dead, and you get to keep them in your memories forever, the way they are. You know, I don't know what's better or worse, because, like, she does say in the movie, which I don't think happened in the book, but in the movie, she's like, I still have time, because they're still young, and I could still spend, you know, another 10 or 15 years with them before they start to get suspicious.
Right.
And I'd rather have that time. And
it makes sense,
you know, if she leaves. Right. And it does make sense. Because, like, they won't question her appearance. You know, she's in her 20s, right? Like, she could go another 10, 15 years, and they wouldn't really think too much about it.
Yeah.
Right. You know, once she starts hitting her 40s, they're going to be like, yeah, something's not right here. But she could have still had more time with her family, and she kind of wanted that. But that's the thing. Like I said, they can't they have to live with the consequences, because the family, even if they hate you at the end, they're gone. Like, they're not hating you anymore. But you have to live for the next couple hundred years. Right.
Yeah.
Knowing that the people you loved hated you.
At the end, yeah.
At the end. And it's better to just walk away. Like, she walks away, her family thinks she's dead, and they all have their memories.
Right.
So, because they also said, like, they made a point to acknowledge, like, because she had a photo of herself with her family.
Yeah.
Like, how lucky she was to have that. Because, like, they talk about Andy, like, 6,000 years ago. Like, she doesn't remember her family.
Right.
And has no way to recall her family. Pictures didn't exist.
I think in the book, don't Joey and Nikki say that? Like,
yeah,
their family.
Right, they made a point to talk about that.
There was no cameras. Booker at least has some photographs or something. He came at a time,
right.
I think he said in the book, where he could actually have something. Or maybe he even missed it. I don't know, because he's 200 years old.
He's 200 years old, but they did have photos. And, like, Andy had that painting of her. And her husband.
Yeah.
You know, but that was more recent. Like, that wasn't 6,000 years ago. That would also have been within the last, like, 200 or so years.
Right. That was a pretty cool scene in the book.
Yeah.
Where she was actually married to him for a while. And then when, you know, and he knew her power, he knew everything. And they just.
Right. And then
they kind of grew old together. And he's like, time for you to go away.
Right. I don't want you to watch me die or something along those lines. But yeah, I guess going back to, we didn't really get to the question you were going to ask me.
Immortality, like, we had the conversation the other day.
Right.
And it's like, is it good or bad? And this.
Still think it's bad.
Yeah. And that's the idea of this movie. I think it's, they're telling you that the people that have it don't want it.
Right.
And the people that don't have it want it. And it's.
Because they don't know that they don't want it. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Exactly. They don't know what the consequences that come with
it. And they all want the Fountain of Youth, right? Ponce de Leon. Everybody wants to find it and live forever until you get it. You don't know what the grass isn't greener, you know?
No. Well, it is balance to everything. You know, you can have this, but guess what comes with it? You know, there's a negative too. And that Merrick character, I thought whoever played him in the movie, I thought he was like dead on to the comic book. I mean, that,
yeah.
I hated him in the comic book.
Hated him in the movie,
and
too.
You hate him in the movie, that sniveling, and it's like it was all about the money for him.
Well, right, and that's
and that's
all
what
it
he
was
in the book too.
Right,
it wasn't about saving people, and
right,
he just wanted to, you know, make money, and it was disgusting. And he played a great, great part. I mean, he played it perfectly.
Yeah, he did.
But yeah, just that whole idea, like, because Booker says it later in the movie, he's like, the reason he sold out to him, to Merrick, is because he's like, look, I love that line in the movie where he's like, I did it because if he finds what makes us this way, maybe he can find a way to stop it.
Right.
Isn't that? And then he says to her, isn't that what we want? You know, and right. Andy, Charlize Theron, says, not this way.
Right.
No,
not like this.
You know, and not like this. And it's kind of sad, but you'd imagine. And she's been around, like you said, over 6,000 years, and she's still not as desperate as him, and he's only been around for 200.
Right. That goes back to the other thing that they expanded more in the book. Like, I wish they would have gone a little bit more into the torture scenes in the movie of, like, Nico and his husband there. I can't remember the other character's name, but...
Nikki and Joe?
Joe, yeah.
The boyfriend.
Yeah, because
in the movie, he's not my boyfriend, he's my everything.
Right.
That was pretty cool.
But in the book, they went, like, that was a, they expanded more on that scene.
Yeah.
You know, the torture of those two. And they didn't really go into that in the movie as much. It was more implied than anything. But I thought their, like, the way they interacted with each other in the book was great. And they left it out of the movie. So kind of wish there was a little bit more of that, too.
Yeah, but that's one of those things where it's like, you know, you want more, go read the book. It's,
well, yeah,
you know,
for sure.
You can give. But if you've never read the books, I thought this, I don't know because I had read the book, but if you've never read the book, I think this movie still plays really well.
Oh, it plays,
well.
Yeah. Like, my wife didn't read the books, and she really liked the movie. So nothing that I said messes with the movie in any way. Like, if you come
it's
in
just
cold
stuff
to
that
the
would
movie,
enhance it.
Right. It definitely plays, and you don't feel lost or missing anything. But there was extra detail that I think just makes it that much better. Like you said, it's always the way. Read any book and compared to any movie, and there's always more in-depth detail to the books. I mean, that's just the nature of it. But I don't know. Again, knowing that I had seen it in the book, I just wished it was part of the movie as well.
Yeah. You know, just like being immortal, you always wish for more.
Right.
What did you think of the religious versus science stuff? Because you have early on in the movie, you have Niall wearing the cross,
right.
and Andy saying like, "Oh, you believe in," and like she doesn't she just like look up and point like when they
yeah,
were
I
on
think
that,
so.
That tin can plane? And
yeah,
she's like,
I think
"Oh,
so.
That yeah, you believe in that?" And she's like, "Well, you already believe in the supernatural, so just keep going with that."
Right.
Which I thought that was a cool line. But yet, through that entire movie, like I said earlier, it's a movie on, you know, faith renewed, and then but then you have to the contrast to the religious side. You have the whole science, which is Merrick, which is like the devil,
right?
You know, and you have like the ethics of science going on, like Merrick saying, like, you know, I didn't ask those little rats for their little opinions or their
right.
little permissions or whatever. And he's like, I'm not going to ask you. And he's treating these people like lab rats. But he doesn't care. And they even say it to Copley later. He says to him, he goes, oh, like the CIA has never made people disappear before. And
right.
now you're going to get a conscience on me. And he's kind of right. That's the sad part of it, you know.
Yeah, no, he is.
It's kind of an extreme example, kind of to make a point in the movie, obviously. It's like, you hate to see that stuff, but it does go on.
Right. Oh, yeah, for sure.
And, you know, and sadly, it goes on with people that aren't immortal.
Right.
Which is worse.
Right. Yeah, I would think so, yeah.
And speaking of the faith and all of that and, like, the faith renewed idea, that scene that I was talking about earlier that I wanted to ask you if it was in the book, that
uh-huh.
scene when Copley, he has that board tying everything that Andy's done, like, over the last only 200 years.
Right.
And how when she does something, it affects multiple generations. Like, and like he says in the movie, Copley's character, or Copley says, we reap the benefits generations later when she saves this. And they're showing all the headlines on the board. I don't remember anything like that in the book.
There was nothing like that in the book. That okay, was cool. All added to the movie. And like, see, and that's something that was added that I thought was really cool.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, they're too close to it, right? They're not able to see.
Yeah.
I want to say repercussions, but that sounds like a bad thing. But it's not really, right? But they're not able to see the consequences or the repercussions of the things they do because they move on, right? They don't stick around. But like, he was able to look back on it and, you know, piece this big narrative together and say, oh, well, you know, Andy saved such and such and that person's granddaughter cured cancer or something. You know what I mean? It was like stuff that she would never know. Like, there's no way for Andy to know that. And they, right, because they feel throughout this that what they're doing doesn't matter.
Right.
But then, you know, they find out that it does matter. So, yeah, that was really cool. And I think – I don't remember that being in the book. I also don't remember – speaking of that scene with the board, it was kind of, I think it was just a little before that, where Copley was talking about his wife. And
yeah.
I don't remember that being in the book either.
I thought it,
maybe it was, wrong, and I just don't remember it, but I don't remember that being in a book. Maybe it was in the second book, and I haven't read it yet. But I don't, because I don't remember ever feeling any emotion or humanity out of him in the story, so.
Okay. Yeah, that didn't, maybe it is. I don't know. It's kind of blending together the two different books and then the movie and like which one goes where.
Right.
I did like that part where, you know, like you said, it gives him some emotion, gives him a motivation.
Right.
That, you know, his intentions were good. But his motivation, I think, is very similar to Booker's. Booker wants, he had, it makes me wonder, I don't think we knew. Did they say in the book when he got his power? Because I think his son was already born and then he got his powers. Because I don't think he ever would have had a family if he hadn't, or if he already had the powers. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't remember if they said either.
But that's a pretty power. I mean, he's only 200 years old and he's already seen so much pain. And he's, after losing a child like that, even at 40 years old in that fashion, and then have that child hate you, it is awful. But then you have, to the contrast, you have Joe and Nikki who have each other through this entire thing.
Right.
Which was also pretty cool that they were enemies. That's a small little line.
Yes, they killed each other multiple times. And
yeah, they hated each other. They were enemies. Yeah. They were in the Crusades. They were they were actually combatants, and then they fell in love.
Right.
Like, which is kind of how it works.
Time heals all wounds, right?
Right.
Endless time heals endless wounds.
Yeah. I thought in the book, the first – in the movie, remember they had – who was it that died? When he lost his powers, do you remember his name?
No. no, I don't.
But I thought that was
But I know that, right, I remember they talked about it.
Didn't Andy have a relationship with him?
I think so.
Early on?
Yeah.
And that was another part, like I was going to mention earlier, that they didn't play up, and I was surprised. I know they have Joe and Nikki together, so you have, you know, that relationship, so you.
Right.
Going on, but it wasn't Andy in the book. Isn't she bisexual? I mean, you're 6,000 years old. You can
because the one thing they only mention very briefly in the movie when they're in the cave and Niall says, "Oh, you have a Rodan," and she says, "Did you know him?" And the other guy says, "Yeah, probably biblically." But that was really the only inference to her sexuality at all in the movie. But in the books, obviously, like, it starts with her in bed with, like, she gets around, you know, in the books.
Yeah.
So they didn't play that up at all in the movie. But yeah, I think she was multisexual, right? She wasn't, after 6,000 years, she had relationships with everybody. She wasn't really picky, you know.
Well, that's what's kind of interesting to me is being 6,000 years old and having seen the changes in societies and stuff, in that, you know, 6,000 years ago, I don't think sexuality was what it is today. I don't think there was like you know, gay, straight, bi. It was different. I don't think it was as big of a deal.
I mean, obviously, like, it changed over time. Like, 6,000 years ago, there was no stigma at all. Like, people did just whatever they want.
Right.
And then, like, as things went on and you got to, like, the Puritan time, like, you got to where it became super strict and, you know, frowned upon.
Well, the churches get involved.
Right. For anybody that wasn't just straight heterosexual. And then, you know, now to present time where it's still, there's still a little bit of stigma attached, but obviously it's a lot more accepted and in the open. So it's kind of come full circle in a way, you know?
Yeah, I think it's getting there. But that's what I think would be interesting, if for somebody that's 6,000 years old to be like, all right, what, you're going to put a stigma on something that, you know, is I'm 6,000 years old. I've seen it all.
Right. Who are you to tell me?
I don't want to give a spoiler away, but I was thinking this through both books. And then at the end of the second book, you're hit with a big one. And it's really good. But it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. And I like, being 6,000, I was surprised they didn't play that into the movie at all.
Yeah, because you know what I just thought of? Because when you were talking about, you asked about, like, the religious aspect. And, you know, in the movie, Andy makes it known that, like, she doesn't believe in God. And Niall, you know, Niall kind of pushes back and she has faith. Like, Andy's 6,000 years old. Jesus, we're in the year 2020 AD, right?
Right.
So she would have been there. Like,
right.
If that was going on, she would have known about it. So when she's saying, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure she picked up a newspaper.
Yeah, when she's saying, you know, that didn't exist, you know, God, Jesus doesn't exist. She's like, I was there. You know what I mean? I have firsthand experience.
Yeah.
So I didn't think about that till just now, but, you know, she would have been around in the time of Jesus. So.
Well, that's the thing. She said, I was thought of as a God.
Right.
At times. And in 6,000 years, you would have been.
Right. Because imagine the knowledge you amass.
Just after being 1,000 years old.
Exactly. You know, how much do you know compared to the people that are just now, you know, being born? So.
It's insane. Just think of that. Imagine when she's only 1,000 years old.
Right.
And she's still, what, 3,000 years away from the birth of Christ.
Right.
So by the time Christ shows up, she's like, yeah, hold my beer.
Right. Water into wine. You ain't seen nothing yet.
Dude.
Rose from the dead 3 days later. I can do it in 3 minutes.
No, you know? No, hers is, why'd you die? This
right.
Nails.
Right. Why'd you die in the first place? I've been nailed to a million crosses. So, yeah. You know, not to be a blasphemer or anything, but, but you know, she's like, I was there. So.
Yeah, so it makes you wonder that whole, like, when she looked up at the sky, like, yeah, uh-huh.
Right, right.
But, all right, dying on a cross, we just mentioned it. They said the science side of it was to end suffering. And
right.
So you have that whole part where we talked about Gwyn, whatever her name is, suffering under the water.
Right.
For hundreds of years. And these characters are all suffering through immortality.
Right.
Right? Again, I'm going to bring up the Alchemical Mind podcast. Look at that. I said it in one take. Yeah. And we were Martin and I were talking a little while ago about, like, isn't that what life is? And I mentioned this to you. And I think we talked about it earlier, but it's like, you know, that's what life is. Life is suffering.
Right.
And yes, when you see, Copley said he saw his wife die and his wife suffer. And you see Booker watched his son die. That's the suffering.
Right.
But it's like, it's one of those things. It's a small part of this movie, but it's like, sadly, like, that's what life is.
Right.
But these characters, supposedly it's like, you've got to get through life. That's another one of the religious aspects, is like, you get through life and then you get peace.
Right.
And these poor characters,
but
they
have
never
no
get
peace,
that
right?
peace.
There's no peace.
So they just suffer through the whole entire thing. So I just thought this movie, I thought, was like so deep on so many levels of like conversations that you could have here.
Well, and like, but you already mentioned it, like with Merrick, like to end suffering was just a pretense because that was
him.
That wasn't really his intention, you know.
Not his, but that was Copley's. Copley wanted to end suffering. I think Merrick's assistant there, the woman, I thought the other doctor.
Yeah, the scientist.
Whatever she was, yeah. Right? And she's like, she's trying to justify it. And I can't remember if it was Joe or Nikki, but it was like, oh, okay, I've heard it all. You're right. Trying to justify this and rationalize what you're doing, but you're not going to find it. You're not going to get what you're looking for. But I think she had good intentions. I thought Merrick was just absolute evil.
Right.
But
he had no redeeming quality.
No, none at all. But Copley was looking to end suffering and find a cure for people. But to your point that you had last week, like, what if you do find it? Now nobody dies?
Right. Like, and that's the whole thing, that it's flawed reasoning, because immortality doesn't end suffering. Now, again, they don't know that because they don't have it. But
right.
Like, immortality doesn't end suffering at all.
It just
prolongs. If you really want to, if you want to end the suffering, then you let them die. Yes, maybe they don't go out in the most peaceful way, but suffering ends when they're gone, right?
Right. Rest in peace.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't know. It's flawed logic, you know. And he's like, "Yes, I'm going to end suffering by torturing you. Like, I'm going to end suffering by making you suffer." You know.
Right.
I'm going to cut pieces out of you until there's nothing left to cut, you know, so I can end suffering. It's like, where's the logic in that?
Exactly. All right. I think we know the answer to the question, but do you want a sequel?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
How many?
Well, I would like to see two. I want them to follow the... Like, this movie really encapsulated the first 5-issue miniseries. So, yeah. I mean, I would want to see all three of them. Obviously, they could, and we don't know how it ends yet, so I don't know, but, like, obviously they could take this further with other journeys, and they could keep introducing immortals, and, you know, it could go on forever, but I would just like to see the trilogy, you know, that matches the books, and I'd be fine with it.
Yes, I agree with that, but I think there is so much room to expand this, especially in... The fact that it is just a movie and not a series.
Right.
I think if they really fleshed this out with a series, of course it would be a little more difficult. But there's so much more room. Like you said, you could add a character. You could have Andy die off and you could have bring another one in.
Right.
And
you could jump anywhere, right? Like not.
You could jump any time. I was just going to say that.
Niall could be the leader and she could be 2,000 years old, you know, and.
Right.
You can go anywhere with it. I mean, it's wide open. Unless it ends with them wiping out the immortal. Like, maybe they find a cure and nobody's immortal anymore, and then that wouldn't make sense. But
My little thing is, I'm wondering if Andy's axe has any connection to her power. Because she lost her power when she lost her axe.
Well, maybe. Yeah, I don't know.
You know, at least I thought she lost her power when she lost the axe.
I'm not 100% sure. Like, I just thought it was, like, you know, her favorite weapon. You know, it's just...
Oh, clearly.
Yeah. I didn't really ascribe any significance to it, but that doesn't mean there isn't one.
I just want her to survive.
Yeah.
I want her to keep suffering.
Yeah.
But that's...
I don't want her to have peace, God damn it.
No, but that's what's cool, is, like, her and Niall going through the door. And they show it. They show the guns are, like, literally, like, 6 inches away from the door on the other side.
Right.
And Niall's like, here, put the vest on. I'll go in first. And Andy's like, no, I always go in first. This doesn't change anything.
Right.
You know, and I like that. I mean, you're 6,000 years old. You get to the, this is, I've been doing it this way. This is the way we're going to do it. If it's my time, it's my time. And I thought that was really interesting. But at the same time, she still wasn't like, she was aware that she was mortal now.
Right.
And she was trying to survive, which I thought was an interesting spin. You know, she didn't just go, finally, 6,000 years and throw herself on a grenade or something.
Right.
And just end it.
She's
still trying to survive, which is kind of funny because her and Booker were like wishing they had a chance to die. And now her opportunity is here and she's actually fighting to survive.
Well, I think that's because of the board. It's because she realized that she had made an impact. So,
right.
So she wasn't ready to go yet.
Well, I think it's Niall, the board, and that woman in the that sewed right. up her shoulder. I mean, right. it's a combination of her arc in the movie, the travel through the movie that she sees the impact that she's having, but that's what I mean. I think is real interesting about this movie is that they took this character and, you know, somebody that's been around for 6,000 years just looking for a way out is now finding a way to stay.
Right.
And that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So my very last thing here is actually kind of funny to me. We're both very high on this movie. Is that the Corona effect?
I don't
like. We are so thirsty for new content that I've watched this movie twice. I'm like dying to watch it again. Joe still hasn't seen it yet, so I'll watch it with him.
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, I think it's a good movie regardless. Yeah, I don't think so. I can't say it that I think that it's the Corona.
I don't
effect.
Either. I just thought I'd ask. I thought it was a pertinent question because we are starving for content.
Right. It makes sense because we are. Like, right now we want anything. But, I mean, I've watched a ton of stuff that I didn't think was great. You know?
Right.
So, I don't think I would have liked it. I don't think I like it just because of that. But
it's funny because, we don't even have movie theaters.
Right.
So, this is the closest you can get. This is the closest we've had to a big budget movie coming out. And it's a Netflix movie based on an indie book.
Right.
And this is our Black Widow so far. Our Wonder right. Woman 84. I mean, this is it.
Like, it's our Empire Strikes Back, which is the number one, which is the number one movie in the country last week. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You didn't know that?
At drive-ins?
Yeah. No, Empire was the number one movie. It did $400,000.
Oh, man. Nice. At all those drive-ins.
Not 400,000, 40,000 or something. No, 400,000.
400,000.
Yeah,
400,000. I heard that.
I was thinking 400 million. No, that wasn't that.
Wasn't Back to the Future like the week before or something?
It might have been, yeah.
Yeah, it's like all of these movies are getting like rerun.
Still, I don't know. I haven't seen Empire on in the movie theater in a long time, so I may try to sneak in.
Do you have theaters open there?
We have a few, yeah.
Yeah.
We have a few.
I don't think we have any here. I haven't seen any. We have drive-ins. We can go to the drive-ins. I think that's where the majority of the money's coming from, too.
No, yeah, I think so, too. But there's a few theaters. The theater by my store is actually open on the weekends only, although they're not doing any business.
Mm.
Because they've been open for 3 weeks, and I didn't know it until this weekend. So.
Well, now they'll have some business.
They're open Friday, Saturday, and Sunday from like 12 to 8. But I haven't seen anybody, like I said, I haven't seen enough cars for me to even realize that they were open, so.
Oh, they gotta get open soon. Tenant's coming out in a month.
Yep.
Supposedly.
Supposedly. We'll see.
We'll see. I'm wondering. I have no idea. The way things are going.
Yeah.
I have no idea what's gonna open, if it's ever gonna open.
Yeah, I know. I don't know if we're ever gonna have life as we know it again. So, as we knew it.
Yeah.
This is life as we know it.
As we've forgotten it.
Yeah.
All right. Is that all we have?
I think so. We went pretty deep on this.
Yeah. Hey, it was good.
Yeah.
What do we have? A couple weeks till Umbrella Academy.
Yeah.
That'll be good. Then we're starting to roll into some stuff here and maybe actually seeing some light at the end of the tunnel after we just talked a little doomsday there.
Yeah.
Next month we have a couple of things. What do we have?
The Boys is coming.
Lucifer.
Yeah.
And maybe some movie theater stuff. So who knows? Yeah. Who knows? Can only get better. That's the bright side, right?
Exactly.
There we go. All right. Let us know what you're doing to entertain yourselves. Hit us up on Twitter at brightside_chat or email us at brightsidechat@gmail.com. Check out all the great podcasts at Nerdy Legion at nerdylegion.com. And please rate, review, and subscribe. That all you got?
It is.
I'm going to get out of here. You keep the store open a little bit longer. It's Monday. Hopefully you get some nice sales.
Hopefully
it isn't here yet, but hopefully your delivery goes well and we can release the hounds.
Yes, we'll see.
I will talk to you on Monday. On Wednesday, sorry.
You got it. Take care, everyone.
Hey, Fred.